When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome into the Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks. I'm Evan Marinofsky. That's Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Look, I'll be up front. I'll be open. I'll be honest. This is being recorded prior to Monday night's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I apologize. I am sorry. There's nothing we can do. Fortunately, for Maple Leafs game reaction and everything, Poke the Bear will come out on Tuesday or be recorded Tuesday and come out later. And I imagine Pucks with Hags will be able to react to that game. But I got to be honest, Connor, I don't think the games are what matter most to people this week. I don't think it's the games. That's why I'm not really sweating this because March 8th, the trade deadline approaches Friday. It's on Friday. And it stinks for us because trade deadline is fun. Conversation for like a good month and a half leading up to it, whether your team stinks, whether your team's good. You and I have never podcasted, knock on wood, when the Bruins were remotely sellers. Now, they haven't been sellers at a deadline like in my lifetime.
Right.
I don't know. The chances, I guess, are slim of that happening. But still, we've been lucky.
I do think, didn't we record a podcast once, and it was during when they essentially salary dumped Foligno and Hall? I think we were recording when that happened. So that was something, right?
That was over the summer.
Yes.
So, okay, yes, they did sell those pieces. Yeah,
selling, you know, again, it was part of the bigger picture of freeing up cap space. But again, you could maybe qualify that. But again, if we're recording all of a sudden, DeBrusk is traded for a first-round pick and a B-level prospect, yeah, that'd be a little bit different, right?
And I think we both were like, oh, they're freeing up money because they're going to re-sign Tyler Bertuzzi. That's what they're going to do. Boom! We were spot on with
nope.
that. Yeah, that was not the greatest prediction in the world. But trade deadline coming up, and I think Saturday's game, I want to say complicates things for the Bruins, but it makes it maybe a little more clear of what needs to happen, what might need to happen. They sucked on Saturday. My God, what a horrendous. I actually have a friend who, so I was at an island. I want to just tell the story real quick. I promise we'll get right into deadline stuff. People are like going right ahead, 15 seconds. But anyway, one of my friends wanted to treat her boyfriend to a fun. He's a big Bruins fan. They're both big Bruins fans. And they wanted to go away, see an away game. And they want to hit every NHL arena. And they figured, oh, Bruins Islanders on his birthday weekend? That's perfect. So they went to Long Island for that game. Very excited for it. Just to watch them suck. So I felt bad about that. It was a very nice idea, though, by her. I mean, that's a good gift. Not her fault.
Yeah, no, it's a good move. Unfortunately, as has been the case for most of the last month, and people have gone to these games and have been immediately let down because there's been a lot of pretty shitty games, Evan, to be honest with you, last month.
There have been, and even in the close ones, they've been shitty. But things continue to complicate, and more reportings come out. It was either Elliot Friedman or Pierre LeBrun, and we'll get into both of their reporting. One of them said the Bruins could be the most fascinating team at the trade deadline. I think that may have been Friedman, who said that because he did a team-by-team breakdown of what he's hearing on every team. We'll start with Pierre LeBrun. Pierre LeBrun came out with a story on Monday, kind of detailing what he's hearing on each big name player available at the deadline. And Linus Ullmark was a player mentioned in that story. And he mentioned, the pros of kind of what you did, the pros of keeping Linus Ullmark, the cons. But he mentioned that the goalie market is, Markstrom might stay with Calgary. Fleury's not leaving. who else is left out there? And the Bruins are in a unique situation where a true hockey trade, we said this last week, a true hockey trade may be what they need most. This would be a hockey trade. And one team he mentioned was the New Jersey Devils, who are in need of a goalie. I think he mentioned that they were really pushing for Jacob Markstrom, but still Linus Ullmark, you know, reigning Vezina winner. What do you think of that?
I mean, it makes sense from the Devils' perspective, right? In terms of, I mean, that's a team that people thought were going to be a President's Trophy contending team. You look at how great they were last year. Again, a lot has gone wrong this year. A lot of guys have been really banged up. Goaltending has been very bad. So again, no shit as to why they're looking for reinforcements there. They're outside the playoff picture. They, as of like 10 minutes ago, fired Lindy Ruff. So like, yep, they're looking to change things around. Again, maybe who knows whether they view it as like, do they want to just continue to try to push this team towards a playoff run, right? Like maybe they wave the white flag and it changes how aggressive they are for a goaltender at the deadline. But from the Devils' perspective, it makes plenty of sense as to why you target a guy like Ullmark. And from the Bruins, it all comes down to, I think, one, what they do with Swayman, and two, whether or not they just want to rip off the Band-Aid. I feel like we're going to hit the point, right, where, like, especially if the Bruins end up signing Swayman long-term and it's a sizable contract, I can't see this team trudging ahead next year and the years ahead with, you know, $12 million committed as far as cap space towards two goalies, right? Like, I don't see that being a viable option for a team, even when they have so much cap space. They'd rather, you know, maybe commit to one goalie, bring up, you know, Brendan Bussey or someone like that as the new backup, or a veteran, you know, free agent signee who ends up costing you $1.5-2 million, and do that and free up that cap space to then look at a guy like Noah Hanifin, Elias Lindholm, you know, re-sign some other guys. I think they'd keep that. They'd rather prioritize that cap flexibility. So it all comes down to whether or not the Bruins want to, again, do that now, or whether they want to wait things out and get to a point where they do it in the offseason. Like, maybe they get ahead of things this, you know, at this deadline, you acquire a useful asset, you kind of give the net to Swayman and you get ahead on things. But also it would be very, I don't know if odd's the right word, but if this team has, you know, had this goalie rotation, been the bedrock of their success, and we never see it in the playoffs, right?
Like, again, I completely agree.
Maybe they get ahead on it, right? And like, if the Devils are offering you a first round pick or a prospect, or even like a useful asset, like a, you know, a Tyler Toffoli is a guy that's been mentioned as a possible upgrade for the Bruins, a guy that's, you know, a consistent 25 goal scorer. Maybe that's the path the Bruins take there, but it would be like, I don't know if deflating is the right word, but to just get to this point where I could see why the Bruins would do it, but to then just give the net to Swayman without ever seeing how this goalie rotation worked. It's like, what was all this for then? Right. Again, but it just comes down to what the price ends up being and just how desperate I think the Devils are between now and March 8th.
I agree. You and I have been in tandem on this. I want to see the tandem in the playoffs. That's what I want to see. At the same time, though, they have stunk of late, and I'm not saying so much the goalies. The goalies haven't been amazing, but the team has stunk of late. And, you know, is it time to shake things up? Now, I don't think it's realistic. You know, Diver and I talked about this the other day. You know, if you really just became a seller, what would that look like? I don't see them actually doing that or even coming close to doing that. But do they make a hockey trade? I mean, look, the Devils have a first round pick this year. They have a first round pick next year. They do not have a second round pick this year, but they do have one next year. They have Tyler Toffoli, who's an interesting idea. I mean, again, like, if we're going to play like the trade game here, and let's say Linus Ullmark, you know, did go to New Jersey, right? Like, what would the return be? It could be, you know, 2024 first and Tyler Toffoli and like a prospect. So, I mean, you do get a first, you get
a pretty good player.
I mean, you get a pretty good player. It's a good player. And, you know, you get, you know, potentially a prospect, or if they threw in like a second round pick or something like that, you don't have those either. That kind of does both. I mean, that helps you for the future. That helps you for now. But I mean, okay, let's look at the now, right? Let's say that was the trade. Let's play the game. Let's say it was Ullmark to New Jersey for a first, Toffoli, and let's just say a prospect, right?
Futures covered. Prospect, yeah.
B-level prospect or a mid-round pick, right? this season, right, Toffoli is going to help you more than the first round picks don't do anything for you this year. But if it is like, who's getting you more wins in the playoffs when the playoffs come around? Tyler Toffoli in the top six or Linus Ullmark in tandem with Swayman? I don't know. I go probably more with the goalie. I go way more with the goalie on that one. And I think it helps you up front with Toffoli. I completely agree. I think it definitely helps. But I don't know. I'm not like, I want to see the tandem. That's the thing, Connor. And I don't know if this is hurting my vision of the Bruins.
Well, and I think it's something important to note here, because I think we're in agreement on that in terms of wanting to see what the goalie rotation is. And, you know, I think Ty Anderson has mentioned that multiple times when we've had him on the podcast as well. That being said, it's not like we're being like, this is the cheat code. Like, the Bruins just stick to the goalie tandem. It's going to fucking work. Like,
no, we're not saying that.
We know, but I'm saying, like, we don't know that. And it just further reinforces how much of a fucking waste last year was that we don't have that clarity at all. Among, like, the disappointment of, like, losing the first round, blowing a 3-1 lead, the stakes of Bergeron and Krejci, we all know that. We have no fucking idea how that goalie rotation was worked, because they went completely away from it and played Ullmark for six straight fucking games and then threw Swayman into the fire. Like, that, I think, just further, again, reinforces how much of a waste that series was and the stakes of it, because I think it's logical for us to be looking at that goalie rotation that's worked so well for years now and be like, let's see what it is. But we could have gotten that clarity last year if, like, they flamed out last year. And, you know, even if they got away from it right away and it's like Ullmark has a good game, Swayman sucks game two, you ride Ullmark to game seven and then it blows up. All right. Then you see, like, the putting that practice, you know, into play during a playoff series where, again, we mentioned this before. It's easy to say in November and December that you want to keep the goalie rotation. It's tough when you get to actually April and a guy, you know, isn't living up to their billing and you have to actually toggle which goalie you go to in the playoffs. But, well, we don't know. Right. And again, like, it could be a point where you want to keep that goalie rotation. You have this, you know, other opportunity to do that. But if the Devils knock on your door and they're giving you a 25-30 goal scorer in Toffoli, who helps you this year and maybe for the long term, if you want to re-sign him, and a first that you either can replenish your draft capital or maybe you flip that for someone else. Maybe you flip it for Hanifin with other assets. Like, maybe that pushes your hand. Again, I can see the logic however you want to spin it, right? There's logic for however the Bruins tackle this if it ends up being a deal on the table, but just sucks that if that is the case, that we'll never get to see what exactly that goalie rotation was on hockey's highest stage, because they botched it last year.
I completely agree. I want to keep touching on this, but first, quick word from our friends over at Prize Picks. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Want to pick the number of goals David Pastrnak will have in a game? Or the number of shots on goal Brad Marchand might have in a game? Then Prize Picks is for you. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit matchup to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, back to the show. You mentioned an interesting thing, and I was thinking about this. Okay, so let's say that Ullmark deal happens, right? And you did get those pieces back, Toffoli a first, a B-level prospect or a mid-round pick. And then you flip that first and or the prospect or mid-round pick plus maybe DeBrusk or, you know, something to Calgary for Noah Hanifin. Let's say that's what they did, right? Let's say they, you know, they wheel and deal. Let's say they do two hockey trades, right? And somehow, because again, you have to trade a guy like DeBrusque or a roster player to make the money work. Because I don't have what Toffoli makes in front of me, but it can't be that cheap. So you're going to have to free up some money in that to get Hanifin back. You're going to be like the Calgary Flames of the East, which would be really fun. But in that event, right, let's say they had a top six of JVR, Zaka, Pastrnak, Marchand, Coyle, and Toffoli, because in that case, like, let's say like DeBrusque is gone. And then, you know, your top four is Lindholm and McAvoy and Hanifin and Carlo, or flip-flop the pairs, whatever you want. Is that, are they better that way than if they just had the goalie tandem? Like, I think in that case, probably, yeah. But because you're bolstering your back end. But at the same time, I agree with you. You want to see the tandem. I get that. But again, I don't know if they do what we want them wanted them to do for weeks now, right? And they go out and they get a depth defenseman who's big and physical, and they get a depth forward who's kind of big and physical, right? Let's say that's all they do. The way this roster is shaking out, the way they're playing right now, and they have for the last month, they're probably out in the first round, unless they face Toronto and get past, like, then I could see that, you know, they could get past them, you know, but then you face Tampa or Florida and one of them has Hanifin or something like that. I mean, you might bow out and you didn't really get any assets, at the deadline. You didn't try to shake things up. So the more I think about it, the more I do lean towards a hockey trade and shaking things up. Cause I don't know I don't think the formula they have right now is, going off the last month, I don't think it's worthy of, oh, that's a cup contender, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's just us being, you know, prisoners of right now. I think that's been them for the last month.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it all just comes down to between now and March 8th. It's just, it all revolves around what deal is actually out there, right? Like, again, we say Toffoli in a first, like, rants we've seen of the Devils would give up a, you know, Toffoli's, again, a pending UFA, but he's got 26 goals in 60 games. Like, he's a legit winger that can
help.
He's
fourth on their team in points.
Yeah. And he also makes $4.25 million. So you can make the money work just by trading out Ullmark there. But if they're offering you and they're that desperate where they're giving you a bona fide top six player plus, a first round pick that you can flip, and then the Bruins are able to work out something with a Hanifin trade, then yeah, of course. If that's your end result and you get a top four fixture in Hanifin and a 30 goal scorer in Toffoli, I think you do that. Right. And again, it all comes down to, yes, we want to see the goalie tandem, but if you're going to be trading Ullmark anyway, this off season, would you rather see how the goalie tandem does in front of a pretty flawed team, as you said, when like last year should have been the window to really try that and just stick to it? Or would you wait until this off season when Ullmark's value might be decreased? Because maybe a team like the Devils switches gears or changes things, you know, Ullmark's got one, you know, would be a pending UFA the next year. Would you rather wait till this offseason for that to be the case? And Hanifin's gets traded to the Lightning and he signs there long-term, right? Like if the window and the opportunity to add right now is better for the Bruins, I can see it being the case. But again, we run into the risk of being armchair GMs, right? Where all of a sudden that, like, again, who knows what the cost would be for Hanifin, what the Devils would be willing to give up. And again, like maybe the Calgary Flames don't want a pending UFA in DeBrusque, and all of a sudden it's instead you're looking at moving a guy like Lauri, right? Like that could also be something where you have to weigh that as well. So it's so just tough to gauge this Bruins team because, you know, when I did my kind of trade deadline preview last week with Ty, we were both like patient, you know, preaching patience, like maybe it's minor upgrades, maybe a guy like Nick Seeler or just a physical third pairing guy, or maybe they just ride it out with what they have, right? Like, don't give up future assets, see what this team has, call up a guy like Lysell or Merkulov, see what you have there, and just ride this year out. We already don't have a lot of cap space, but then at the very end, Ty was like, well, don't forget, like, Don Sweeney tends to move in silence. That dude will like reel off a trade out of nowhere. Like, there's been multiple times where we're like, oh. Like, all of a sudden you get, like, Bruins run a very tight ship, not a lot of leads. So usually a lot of times it's like you get a tweet notification from Freeman being like, BOS in on Bertuzzi. Like, huh?
Oh, Hathaway and Orlov.
Orlov. Yeah. So again, it could be a situation where we all think that this team, the way just you read the tea leaves and how much, you know, cap space they don't have, their draft assets, what have you. It all paints a picture of a team that's either going to make marginal upgrades or stand pat, but luck can change in a hurry. Like, what, this team could stand pat. They could rail off two mega deals and get a guy like Hanifin or a guy like Toffoli. Like, I wouldn't count on Don Sweeney when it comes to getting pretty creative around this time of year. And if it does happen, you're probably not going to get a heads up. Like, those deals kind of come out of nowhere with this team.
No, I agree. Quick word from our sponsor, then we get right back into that. You mentioned it, and I think you're 100% right. We've been saying for a long time, we preached patience. And I still don't think that's the wrong thing. If they end up at this deadline adding a depth defenseman who's physical, adding a depth forward who's physical, and provides you another guy in the middle six or potentially a fourth liner, and they don't give up future assets, they don't move Ullmark, they say, we're just going to reinforce a little bit of the roster and go and see what we got in this, I'm okay with that. Because again, in that situation, if a Linus Ullmark deal pops up or doesn't pop up, and you're not getting enough for Ullmark, Ullmark is a valuable asset. If you're not getting enough for him, I'm okay with hedging your bets and seeing if there's a better deal at the draft or in the offseason, and they don't do anything. What I will have a problem with, the one thing that I will be very against, is if you trade assets for rentals. That I can't stand. Now, Ullmark for Toffoli is a different thing, because in that situation, you'd be getting first round picks, a prospect. Maybe you can re-sign Toffoli. He is pending UFA. They do have a lot of cap space this offseason. He would be a guy in your top six. Probably replaces Jake DeBrusque. So that I'm okay with that. But for just someone who's going to be here for 3 months and then out the door, please don't trade a Lysel, or even like a Lysel or a first, a future first, or anything like that. For a rental. That's the one thing I really don't want. Elliot Friedman also had a bunch of things in 32 Thoughts about the Bruins, mentioned a lot of the idea of a hockey deal because they don't have a ton of draft capital to trade. It would have to be a hockey deal. Mentioned that the Bruins have begun talking to Jeremy Swayman about an extension. So that kind of hits at what you were saying earlier, in that you can't have Swayman, let's say hypothetically, making $7 million a year and Ullmark making, you know, 5.25 now, and then re-signing him in a year for, you know, $7-8 million. You can't have that on your books. So that's one thing. And then he also mentioned that they've contacted Calgary about Noah Hanifin, but also Noah Hanifin's destination is Tampa Bay. So I'm interested. I mean, what do you think of that? What do you think of the Swayman extension? Where are you at with that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Bruins, I think it makes sense. And again, like, you still want to see what Swayman does in the playoffs, right? You still, there are some question marks, but you look at his age, the fact that he has, I think, taken steps forward every year. I think it benefits all parties, right? To you know, sign him long-term and get him here for the foreseeable future for this team, right? Like, there's not a lot of teams that have a surefire potential number one net miner. You can make the case that he already is a surefire guy. And to get ahead on maybe a contract before some other goalies that are due for deals the next year or two, put pen to paper. Like, it makes sense for the Bruins, and I think you want to, you know, make sure Jeremy Swayman's happy. He was not thrilled. I don't know if you heard this, Evan. Wasn't thrilled really? With the arbitration. So a new deal can kind of, I think, I don't know if mend fences is a little bit too dramatic there, but I think all sides would benefit from a long-term deal, obviously. But again, it also adds credence to the fact that if the Bruins cross the finish line, you know, between now and March 8th, and Swayman signs for 7-8 years at $7 million or what have you, that further validates that, you know, something's got to give with this goalie rotation. Again, if a deal is to be made where you're getting assets for both this year and for the foreseeable future, as you said, I don't think the Bruins are looking at just rentals. Like, they're not going to, I don't think, like, acquire a guy like Hanifin without knowing they can sign him long-term. They're not going to, again, like, maybe Toffoli, you'll see what he is there, but you had a guy like that with the purpose of keeping him here long-term. So I think it all just comes down to, if Swayman signs, yeah, I think that further validates that I don't think you're going to be seeing maybe a goalie hug next year, not to make Bruins fans sad, but if something's got to give there. You're going to have to face some hard truths with this team, because I just can't see them operate with 11 to $12 million dedicated to one spot in the lineup like that. It's just not feasible, even with the cap space they have next year.
And again, I think have been in lockstep about this too all along. Like, as much as we want to see the goalie tandem this season, I'm fine with no goalie hug next year. I'm fine. Like, Omark is a valuable asset that you can get something for. And again, if you're going to sign Swayman to a long-term extension, which is what I assume they're going to do, you're not going to sign him and then trade him out the door. Even though, yes, Swayman could get you a lot in a trade. That would be a crazy way to treat a good player. That's like an NHL like franchise mode. That's what I do with like my Madden franchise. The Houston Texans, we've won like 8 straight Super Bowls. But I agree. Omar can get you something. And I think the other thing is, like, and we have to remember this, right? We talked a lot about the deadline, or a little bit about the deadline between the Christmas break and the All-Star break. And we kept saying, don't do anything big. The roster is what it is. It's still kind of a bridge here. We know they're really good. Reinforce it a little bit. And I think if the Bruins were still first in the Atlantic, playing great hockey, the lineup was cooking, we would say the same thing. Like, I don't think we would be sitting here if they were in first, they didn't have all these losses or overtime losses, and they were, you know, truly like still fighting for like top of the league. We'd be like, oh, don't trade Ullmark. Stick with the tandem. It is working. It's another year of trying this out. Things have changed. It'll be interesting to see what happened on Monday night against Toronto. Crazy game. All the stars were out, Connor. It was a hell of a night.
Some people are saying.
Yeah.
Again, that also could change. That could change how aggressive the Bruins are. They could get absolutely obliterated by Toronto, or maybe they win. Again, it all depends. We looked at like the Devils. Hell, like they could drop a few more games between now and then. They're like, you know what? White flag. This year's cursed. Everyone got hurt. We still have Jack Hughes and all these other guys. Like, we'll get back at it next year and address things later on. A lot can change between now and March 8th. We've mentioned for weeks now that like depth pieces, you know, we'll see what the Bruins do. We could be recording on Friday night or Saturday, and like I'll put like a fire background behind me because everything has gone to shit or change or gone 0 to 100 in short order. Like, you can never tell this time of year.
Yeah. And the other thing, we mentioned him once, but like, what happens with Jake DeBrusque? Like, what happens with him this week? And what do they decide to do? Do they hold on to him? Does a team take him? Is he packaged for someone? I mean, I know I mentioned him in the potential Hanifin trade. Like, and this is not based in anything insider, but like, you know, does Calgary look at a guy like him and say, oh, he's from Western Canada, maybe he would want to stick around here? I don't know. Like, it's why, like, I think Friedman is right in saying that the Bruins are such a fascinating team this week, because they're good, but they're not that good. And they also have these pieces that could net them something, and they don't have a lot of future assets. So they're going to have to, if they're going to do anything big, you're going to have to trade pieces. So the more I look at the state of the Bruins, the more I like the idea of a hockey trade. Like, again, I have no problem with them going out and adding just minor reinforcements, because again, the goalie tandem stays together and we get to see it. We're not saying they're going to win the cup with the goalie tandem. We're just saying we want to see it. I just want to see it. Or they could go out and you know, Omar could be traded and DeBrusque could be traded, and they're flipping, you know, picks they're getting for Noanifin. We'll see. I'm very interested to see this week. I think it's going to be interesting either way. Obviously, one thing is going to be much more interesting than the other. But anyways, Connor, what can the people look forward to from you at The Globe and Boston.com?
Yeah, Rob, you covered every step of the way this season, especially with the deadline this week. So we'll be looking at trade targets, possible, you know, trade scenarios, all that good stuff over at Boston.com. So you can read all my stuff over there. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky, presented by Prize Picks. You Brewers Beat listeners, have a great rest of your week.